So I'm going to take the privilege now to introduce our speaker for tonight. Speaker for tonight is none other than Pastor Alex Royce. Yeah, as I said before, he is a son of the South. He was born right here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But he has been called to ministry and knew that he was called to this kind of work, particularly helping people come to a knowledge of what their passion is, what their gifting is from a young age. And he has pastored from coast to coast, literally. He's pastored in churches like Miracle Temple in Baltimore, Truth Tabernacle in Pennsylvania, Westminster Good Samaritan in California, and now just here in Miami, Florida, the Mount Pisgah Seventh-day Adventist Church. He graduated from Oakwood College with a BA in theology, as well as an MDiv from Andrews University. And he's also working currently on his Doctor of Ministry degree in leadership. So we'll soon have to call you Dr. Royce. All right, you're going to claim it by faith. All right. He is married to Shannon, who is here with him this evening. And they have two beautiful young men, Ian and Noah, who bless their union. So tonight, as he shares, he's going to be sharing under the topic, I'm up next, and he's going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Royce, I pray the Lord will bless you as you share with us tonight.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. So good to see all of you here on tonight. We thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy that are new every single morning. This is my very first time at the Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, so I am excited to be here. Somebody ought to say amen. I want to thank your awesome pastoral staff who have had an opportunity to meet, I think, all of you on tonight. And it's so good. Brother Nugent, I know him from Andrews, and so he's a familiar face, and so it's just so good to see you and good to make the acquaintance of your pastors here at this awesome church. Tonight I am talking about the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. It's an awesome topic to talk about, and I'm so excited to be able to share life and word with you on this evening. One of the things that I just want to start off and say on this evening, when their team was asking me for information about my sermon, they were saying, hey, we want to give you PowerPoints and we get you all situated, and I want to say that you have an awesome team. Your team is always put together. You guys are on top of it. And when I told them, I said I had one scripture text, and they had to fire back a response and say, now, you sure, Pastor, you're talking about the Holy Spirit, and you only have one text of scripture to talk about a topic entitled the Holy Spirit that's so vast, that we talk about the Holy Spirit that's so enormous, that's so incredible. And I said, yeah, I got just one scripture that I'm focusing on tonight, because tonight I will be not using the Socratic method or the methods of deduction whereby I attempt to prove to you the existence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not using the Socratic method. I'm not knocking the Socratic method, and I'm not saying that deduction does not have its place. I believe deduction and study has its place, but tonight I will not be using that particular method, nor will I attempt to on tonight to beguile you with some sort of esoteric knowledge as to the third person of the Godhead, that you may come to acquiesce your stance and claim a fundamentalism when it comes to the doctrine of the Trinity. I'm not going to be doing that on tonight, but instead I'm going to look at one particular passage of scripture and build my case for the power and the validity and the practicality of God's Holy Spirit. Is that all right? And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn to the very first book of the Bible, and I'm going to open it up to the book of Genesis, and I'm going to look at the very first chapter, and I'm looking at the very first three verses when I deal with this topic entitled the Holy Spirit. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, on tonight to Genesis chapter 1, and I'm looking at verses 1 through verse 3 in God's Word on tonight. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord says this. It's on your screen for your reading pleasure. And it says, and you could say it by heart, in the beginning. Everybody say, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God, who did the Bible say, everybody? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And the Bible simply says, and there was light. For a few moments, I just want to speak to you from the message entitled, I'm Up Next. I'm up next. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight that the flower may truly fade and the grass one day may wither away, but that the word of the living God stands immutable in the heavenlies. Now, Father, I pray tonight that the written word would become the spoken word, that the spoken word would become the living word, and that the living word would change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Let somebody say amen. One of the things that I want to push and stress tonight is this whole idea of the Holy Spirit. Here is the challenge that I have oftentimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, what order does the Holy Spirit usually fall? What order does the Holy Spirit usually fall? The Holy Spirit usually falls dead last. When I baptize people, I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the who, everybody? In the name of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the Holy Ghost, most of us oftentimes is the last person on the list that we pray to when we find ourselves in crisis. Let's be honest tonight. When your rent needs to be prayed, you call on the Father. When you're in driving in your car and a car cuts you off and you're swerved, whose name do you shout? Jesus. And you shout Jesus. Very few of us, when we get into trouble, when we get into broken places and damaging situations, this our first instinct to hit our knees and say, awesome Holy Spirit, come in this place. Think about it for just a moment. When's the last time that you went on your face and just went into your prayer closet and you didn't talk to any other part of the Godhead but the Holy Ghost? The reality is that the Holy Spirit oftentimes takes a back seat when it comes to our understanding of the Godhead. And let me say something even more. Because in Adventist realms, because we cannot necessarily explain the Holy Spirit clearly, and in Adventist realms, because we have oftentimes a very logical, analytical, sequential approach to information and or doctrine, oftentimes because we don't completely understand the Holy Spirit or his workings, or let me say her workings, because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a gender. Oh, you don't like that tonight. It's making some of you nervous. We don't oftentimes call on the Holy Spirit spirit, when in reality, what I'm finding, what we need now more than anything else in earth's history, is we need the presence of the Holy Ghost. He's last to be called. He's last to be found. He's last to be looked up. He's last to depend on. But when I read my Bible, I capture a slightly different take. I want you to follow me on tonight. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 is so crucial, I don't want you to miss it. And the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Let me pause right here for some of you who are scientifically inclined. I remember that before I went into ministry, I was preparing to become a doctor, and so I'm taking a truckload of science classes, genetics classes, chemistry classes, physics classes, and I'd bombarded my mind with the scientific, and one of the things that I begin to quickly recognize, oftentimes science and faith seems to collide. It does seem to collide. But when I begin to read Genesis, it began to pique my scientific interest because it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. I want to pause right there. Could it be that when they carbon date the age of the earth, could it be because the earth seemed to have been there, but there was no activity happening in the earth? Could it be is that the earth is truly as old as they think it is because the earth was there, but it was not inhabitable until God spoke a word? Oh, I remember I had a professor named Hans Larondel in the seminary, and he began to teach, and he began to tell us that it could possibly be that creation has been on the earth for 6,000 or 7,000 years, but the actual date and age of the earth, no one actually knows, because the matter has been pre-existent, waiting for an incredible God to speak a word so that it could be turned into life. The Bible says that darkness was upon the face of the deep, and it says, and the Spirit of God moved. Who moved, everybody? It said the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep and the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. I want you to see something happening immediately in the text, is that God uses the Holy Spirit to actually do the creative powers in our world. You know, growing up, I used to love watching wrestling with my dad. When I was younger, my dad and myself and my little brother, we would gather around the television, and they would have the WWF, and we would gather around and we would watch wrestling, and we had some of our wrestling champions. We loved Jimmy Superfly Snuka. The reason why we loved Jimmy Superfly Snuka is that Jimmy Superfly Snuka would get up on the top ropes every time. And his opponent was always be writhing in pain on the canvas. And Jimmy Superfly Snuka would get up on the top ropes. He would fly into the air, and he would come down on his opponent. And then he would finally, after he would smash him into the ground, he would pin him and win the contest. We also used to like one particular wrestler. His name was the Junkyard Dog. And every time time the junkyard dog, he would come in and he would have a big chain around his neck, and he would come in to the song that would say, "Another one bites the dust." I loved watching wrestling with my dad. It was an incredible experience. But one of the things that I loved about wrestling, I loved when they would have what I call the tag team. You know what tag team is? They would have multiple wrestlers, but only one wrestler could be in the ring at one time. The other friend of the wrestler or his partner would have to stand outside the ring, and he would be cheering him on. And what would happen is that any time the wrestler in the ring got into trouble, he would stagger his way back to the corner, and he would try to tag up his other friend. And as soon as the hands would clasp and he would tag his friend, he would roll out of the ring, and then his friend would roll into the ring to save the day. The title of my sermon is "I've Got Next." I'm up next. What I'm trying to say is that when I look at this whole idea of the Godhead, I realize and I understand the Godhead through the window of God being the coach. And he only has two players. And what I'm capturing from the text today is that the first player is the Holy Spirit. He tags in when God stands on the helm of the earth and decides to create something out of nothing. And when God does that, he tags up the Holy Spirit. And when he goes to say, "Let there be light," guess who is right there to bring light into fruition? Another other than the powerful, precious Holy Spirit. But when God goes to redeem lost man, the Holy Spirit can't do that. And so he tags out and he tags in who, everybody? He tags in Jesus, and Jesus comes in, and Jesus does what the Holy Spirit cannot do. I want to pause right here because I want you to capture this. Sometimes we can get caught up into the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the doctrine of the Trinity that we forget that the very essence of the Trinity is all about salvation. Do you realize that? The whole thing about the Trinity is about salvation? What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean, that the Trinity is about salvation, is that God understood that sin was going to come into this world before it ever stepped foot into this world. And God decided way before he ever created man, or way before any problems came, God made a plan for problems before they even hit the front door. Can I just speak to somebody tonight? I don't know who you are. You might be going through some problems, and your problems have taken you by surprise. But can I help you tonight? Your problems never surprise God, because God is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so no matter what problems come your way, God has already foreseen them and made a way of escape for them. I believe God decides way beyond before eternity passed. He decides, you know what? Man is going to blow it. Oh, okay. Yes, yes, yes. Some of you know that feeling. You were with somebody and you know that they don't have the good sense, and you know sooner or later they're going to blow it, and you almost got to brace yourself. I remember when my parents, when I first turned of age here in South Florida, and my parents gave me a little beat up car to drive. They gave me the beat up car and not the car that they were driving to work every day, because they were bracing themselves, realizing sooner or later he's going to blow it and crash this little car. Yes, I brought their worst fears to fruition. I had a little truck, and one day I was driving the truck a little too fast. This is in the day when people could drive in the back of the truck and they wouldn't give you a ticket. Somebody ought to say amen. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like that old station wagon you used to have, and we used to go to New York in the station wagon, and they used to let the seat down, and everybody was just laying down on the seat. Nobody's in seat belts. You're eating hot dogs and donuts. It's a wonder we made it to adulthood. It's a wonder why we survived. But sure enough, I crashed that car. But I thank God my parents were braced for it because they knew something like this might happen before. God knew. And so he said, guess what we're going to do? We're going to break ourselves up into three co-eternal entities so that when man does blow it, that I can redeem lost man while still being just to the law of God. Somebody ought to say amen. I thank God right now that even though I may blow it, God can still pull me out of my broken situation and redeem me in spite of me. Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit tags in to create the earth. Jesus tags back in to die on the cross. But I've come to tell you tonight that the Holy Spirit has one more tag back in. The Bible lets us know that in the book of Joel, that the Bible says that how many of you believe that we're living in the last days of Earth's history? I don't know about you, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to recognize that we're living in the last days of Earth's history. It's clearly before our face. But in the last days, something has to happen like it happened when the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit is going to tag back in a supernatural way. And the Bible says in the book of Joel, he says, and when he tags in this time, he's not going to tag in and just sit down in the corner. He says, when he tags in this time, he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, men and women, boys and girls, rich and poor, black and white. He's pouring out the Spirit on whoever is willing to be poured out on. Here's my big dilemma with the church. We talk about a whole lot of stuff, but I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of reading in the mission report the mighty miracles that God does in some far part of the world. I am of the notion that what God does in Timbuktu, he's ready and willing to do right here in Plantation, Florida. But God said there's something that you've got to yearn as much as you yearn for your next breath. You've got to cry out and say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible lets us know that he is going to do incredible things. And hear me, somebody. I am not so much caught up in the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you, the greatest miracle of the usage of the Holy Spirit is transformed lives. When the Holy Spirit really shows up, wicked people become good. Drunks become sober. Drug addicts get off of drugs. Wayward husbands become straight. Wandering wives come back home. Because the power of God's Holy Spirit has power to change us from the inside out. The Bible says, listen, when I read my Bible, sometimes I cringe because I say, God, why is it that we do not have the same kind of power that I read in the Bible? Listen, the Bible says that there was this one guy, he was a prophet that had so much Holy Spirit in him that one day some friends were running from some enemies. And the Bible says that they were being chased by their enemy. And they realized that if they kept carrying their dead friend who was on their shoulders much longer, that they would eventually die. And the Bible says that they get to the place where they say, you know what? If we keep carrying him, we're going to have the same fate as him. The Bible says that they stop and they open up a random tomb, at least what they thought was a random tomb. And the Bible says that they drop the dead guy down into the tomb. And the Bible says that when the dead guy hits the bones of Elisha, I want you to hear me, that Elisha had so much of the Holy Spirit running through his body that his bones still had power. That when they drop the dead man down there and he hits the prophet's bones, the Bible says that the dead man immediately springs back. I don't know about you, but I believe that that same power that was evident in the life of Elijah is available to you and to me today. I want to be, by the grace of God, just like the disciples of old. The Bible says that they had so much of the Holy Spirit in them that when they would walk by people, their shadow, have mercy, their shadow would heal people. The Bible says that oftentimes when sick people would come and they would put a cloth on the disciples and they would take the cloth that had touched the disciples and they would take it home and lay it on a sick person, that the sick person would literally be healed from whatever sickness they have. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that was working in and through them. The question I ask myself is, why not us? Why not here? Why not now? Because in a few moments, the Holy Spirit's about to tag back in. And when he does, he's going to unleash power. He's going to do it on those who are ready to receive it. And he's going to do it on those, hear me, who have relationship with the Father. So I admonish you on this evening. Let's get the Holy Spirit out of the third place. Let's get him out of the background or her out of the background. And let's begin to call on the name of the Holy Spirit like we've never done before. Because if we ever needed the Lord, we sure do need him right now. Because I declare tonight, I'm up next when the Holy Spirit unleashes his power. Amen.
Amen, amen. What a powerful message. Thank you, Pastor Royce, for that message.